Football Show.
He's out in the hallway of the locker room, freaking out, high-fiving his teammates. This guy's an absolute maniac.
Yeah, he's definitely probably a fun teammate, so to say.
Right.
Seems like he knows how to have a good time.
My cousin actually compared him to he's like the Kevin Garnett of the NFL.
Yeah,
guy's just out of his mind.
Definitely knows how to enjoy a win.
There was a report this morning. As of this morning, 8 to 12 weeks is a more likely timetable. Now, that's from ESPN's doctor. I don't know how realistic that is. The original report was 4 to 6. Again, 8 to 12. I think it could be more on the 4 to 6 end. It's worth noting, he's not a team doctor, so I take the report with a gigantic grain of salt. Dez is a gamer, so I expect this guy to be ready sooner rather than later. And I actually really like Jason Witten and Terrence Williams to step up in his place. They're even better plays in DFS and yearly leagues now.
Yeah, definitely. Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley as well, had a hard fumble. Did you see that fumble?
The Cole Beasley fumble? Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful. Dallas Cowboys fans, he's not Julian Edelman. Don't get those two players confused.
I retweeted that. It's funny. My cousin said, like, you know, this guy is not Julian Edelman. Like, you would just think, just by looking at him and the way he plays, he's not Julian Edelman at all.
Yeah, they don't really use him in that. They kind of say that they do, but if schematically, if you watch closely, it's really not even. They don't even use him in a similar manner. Like, he's in the slot, but in terms of the routes that you see Julian Edelman run, he runs those. He doesn't run them as crisp. He doesn't run them to obviously the productivity. But Brady and Edelman just seem to know where to go with the ball, and they're on the same wavelength, and you don't see that with Romo and Cole Beasley.
I don't think much is going to change in terms of Cole Beasley's fantasy value, but I think that if this helps anybody, it's going to be Witten, in my opinion. I think Romo's going to be looking for him in the end zone even more now. You saw he was doing it on Sunday night. And, Witten has had a couple last year. It was a questionable year. It certainly wasn't his best year, and we outlined it yesterday. His fantasy points the past 3 years, they started high, they went low, and then he had, a breakout. His highest fantasy output was like 130 points, and then he went back down, came back down to earth. But they're all in the same range generally, the 100 to 130 fantasy point range. But I just think that Jason Witten is – tight ends now seem to be like binkies for quarterbacks, like their security blankets. And I think that Jason Witten is no different. I think without the playmaker, number 88 back there, running with the, Witten and, Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley, and they have a great offense when Dez is out there. And I don't think that, obviously, it's not a stretch to say that, but without Dez, it's going to be interesting to see how this team attacks other defenses, whether it's running the ball more, whether it's, throwing it more. I think that you're going to see them lean on Joseph Randle a little bit more. In a perfect world, I would like to see them lean on Joseph Randle and Jason Witten in the offense.
I would go with Terrence Williams, and only because with Witten, he's competing with targets with Gavin Escobar. So I would rather be Terrence Williams competing with Cole Beasley than Witten competing with Gavin Escobar in that offense for targets and catches.
Andre Ellington, he's going to miss time with a PCL injury, and it was the same injury that is keeping Breshad Perriman out. Nothing has been official, but reports seem to indicate Chris Johnson is the guy over there. Rookie David Johnson, Bruce Arians said as much on Monday. He said that he doesn't believe in thrusting rookies into prominent roles. So it's going to be interesting to see how much work Chris Johnson gets. If anything, Chris Johnson's like 58 years old. I think they're just going to be passing the ball a lot.
See, a lot of people laughed at me in my fantasy football league. In the last round, I took running back Chris Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals, and everyone was like, oh, CJ2K, like 5 years ago. But now you're going to see what he can do with a real coach. Like, Bruce Arians is a phenomenal coach.
One of the most respected coaches in the league,
and I think that he's going to do a good job of getting Chris Johnson involved in that offense. I know you like David Johnson, but I'm going to take a flyer on Chris Johnson and see where it gets me.
Ellington could miss between 1 and 3 weeks, but as we've seen with Perriman, it could be longer. Perriman's been injured, I think, since the first training camp or the first mandatory mini camp. So he's been battling that injury quite a bit, and from everything I read, it's right around the same type of injury. Ellington could miss 1 to 3 weeks, had issues last season. are you officially throwing the injury prone label on this guy?
I threw the injury prone label on him last year. It seemed like every week he wasn't 100%. He was always banged up. The year before, I think he was injured for a significant amount of time. I've gone away. I just kind of stay. He's one of those guys I stay away from.
I hate it because I loved him last year. I thought he was awesome. And he was injured since, I think it was, you know, in the middle of training camp. Talk about a guy with all the potential in the world and just can't, he's just fighting the injury bug. And it's frustrating to see, just because talking to Jamie Eisenberg last year, CBS Sports fantasy football expert, he had gotten off the record comments from people in Arizona that they looked at Andre Ellington as the next Adrian Peterson. So it was very frustrating to see him go through these injury woes, and obviously there isn't much you can do about it. Injuries, it's tough to say, you know, the guy just either, you know, sometimes if he's not injured, he's not performing well, you can say the guy just doesn't have it. But this, I mean, what are you going to do about injuries? You know, so it's a tough situation, definitely bad luck for him, but hopefully he'll be able to bounce back when he comes back from this injury, because I think this guy can be a world beater if he's healthy. Going on the defensive side of the ball, a little bit different for us in terms of fantasy, but Terrell Suggs is done for the season with a torn ACL. What effect does this have on the Baltimore DST?
It makes me a little nervous. They're losing their best player on the defensive side of the ball in Terrell Suggs. He's a leader on that defense. It's a tough loss for Baltimore. Next week they have Oakland, so it's kind of, they're kind of a pretty favorable matchup in terms of DFS.
It's an interesting play.
It's an interesting play because it could go one or two ways with Suggs out.
Listen, it's a big loss for the defense. This guy was the heart and soul of the defense. He's a veteran. But in terms of starting the Baltimore DST, I like them. I guess I like them against Oakland, but against, you know, some of the other teams in the division, like Cincinnati, without Terrell Suggs rushing the passer.
I might be looking to drop them in season long leagues if.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. In Green Bay, Randall Cobb didn't have any setbacks in week one as the team took on Chicago. Five targets last Sunday at Chicago, the second highest on the team. Only 38 yards, but he scored a touchdown. Even at 75% health, he's still a wide receiver one, in my opinion. Davante Adams, I think he had 7 or 8 targets, so he had the most targets on the team. Continue to play Davante Adams. Don't go away from him just yet. This is an offense that featured James Jones, and I'm not sure how much more that's going to happen this season.
I was extremely high on Davante Adams and Richard Rodgers. I really think that James Jones can come into this offense and carve out a little niche for himself.
Fascinating how he was in Oakland, couldn't do much, went to the Giants, didn't even make it through training camp, comes back to Green Bay, and he's an absolute world beater.
Well, 14 touchdowns I think he had 3 years ago in Green Bay.
So what happened? So what, like, I guess, you know, and it's not that I'm asking you that, I'm just asking that question. How can you not?
Well, Derek Carr happened.
No, well, how can you not catch on with the Giants? I mean, they obviously saw something to get rid of this guy before week one. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating as a Davante Adams owner.
The Giants are really invested in Reuben Randall, and I just think that they might have been he's younger than James Jones, obviously. Maybe that's why they're kind of similar receivers.
Frustrating as a Davante Adams owner, nonetheless. C.J. Anderson, he rolled his ankle in the team's week one win versus Baltimore. He had, and to me, it could explain why he had the same amount of carries as Ronnie Hillman, who was equally as ineffective. They both had 12 carries. Reports have already come out that he's going to play versus Kansas City. And, you know, I can't take too much from their game at Houston, considering Arian Foster wasn't playing. So the idea that Kansas City's rush defense is world beaters, I think, is a little bit of a stretch, just because, you know, the best running back in football a couple of years ago wasn't playing in this game because he was hurt. So I'm still rolling with CJ Anderson in week two.
I'm staying away from CJ, and I know I picked him. I was really high on him, and I still really am. I just think Kansas City's defense is pretty good. Obviously they have a bunch of guys there that can get to the quarterback, and I think Peyton Manning's going to struggle. And in terms of that whole offense, I think it might be in a guy like Anderson's going to struggle as well.
Right, it's a division game, so you know it should be a close game, and you're really going to see what Peyton Manning is made of. It's the Broncos' home opener, so I may not be rolling with Peyton Manning in week two, but I'm rolling with C.J. Anderson just based on the fact that I took him in the second round. And while I understand what you're saying in terms of the Kansas City rush D, I don't believe in them just yet. I want to see how they do against this spread offense in Denver. The MRI on Raiders quarterback Derek Carr's hand has the team feeling encouraged, and he has a chance to start versus Baltimore.
Yeah, I think the reports are that he probably will start versus Baltimore. I'd like to see, honestly, Baltimore had the worst pass defense in the league last season. They were 32, ranked 32 in the NFL. Derek Carr might be a sneaky play. Derek Carr to Amari Cooper could be a nice little play on DFS. They both didn't have the greatest weeks last week, and they'll probably be low in ownership. Might be a good way to go.
I know that Suggs is hurt, so even then, you know, I think I'm going to stay away from Latavius Murray this weekend. I have Chris Johnson, Chris Ivory, and I have Latavius Murray, and I think I'm just going to have to roll with Ivory in the great game he had last week against Cleveland, I think it was. So, you know, in terms of Latavius Murray, you drafted this guy, you know, fourth, fifth round, but at some point, you know, this team could be down by so many points so early that he may not be a factor. And maybe not against Baltimore. They're not like the highest powered offense, but I think just in general for the season, it could be a running theme. And unfortunately, that could put a limit on Latavius's work in Oakland.
Yeah, I wasn't high on Latavius going into the season, but I think he showed me a little something last week. Even though he didn't have the greatest game, he kind of ran with a little more heart than you've seen him run previously.
The game was out of hand, and they ended up running Marcel Reese for the, you know, a large part of the second half. So Latavius didn't get that much work. So it's hard for me to look at Latavius Murray and form an opinion based on the fact that this team was out of the game so early that, you know, he couldn't really get a chance to get going. T.Y. Hilton is day-to-day in Indianapolis with a knee bruise. So who steps up in this guy's absence? Because to me, it's Dante Moncrief. And that's if he misses time. You know, I actually think Chuck Pagano came out and said T.Y. is fine. He's considered day-to-day. But if he does miss time, Moncrief should see extra catches. 7 catches for 88 yards for T.Y. Hilton week one, the loss against Buffalo in Buffalo. 7 touchdowns last season, all of which came in the first 6 weeks of the season, which I thought was very interesting. After he had those 7 touchdowns, Rob, the next 2 weeks, he had 100-yard games back-to-back, and then he completely fell off the cliff. So is T.Y. Hilton the stud that everyone thinks he is based on those numbers I just read?
Let me tell you something. If you look really closely at those numbers, I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew Luck, obviously status-wise, great fantasy quarterback, but look at the year he had towards the end of the season last year. It was very telling in terms of fantasy. He struggled a lot going back towards the last 5 or 6 games and might have had something to do with T.Y. Hilton's production, and it could have also had stuff to do with just basically the system. Chuck Pagano's fallen out of favor there in Indianapolis, so
it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
A lot of people have this team winning the Super Bowl. I just don't see it. They didn't make any changes on defense. They didn't. There was stuff that, like, that they needed a.
I like them. I like them for the Super Bowl before the season. I am an admitted Colts Super Bowl supporter. I thought that they were going to, just based on the fact that the defense in New England didn't get better, they got worse, and the Indianapolis Colts signed Trent Cole. I mean, I think we've been over this ad nauseum, but listen, this is just 1 week. You know, I want to see, from all reports, Andre Johnson looked old. Frank Gore looked old in the game. So from what I saw, I didn't see anything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week and for the coming weeks. And if T.Y. Hilton goes down, Andre Johnson's now the number one there. And how are they going to utilize him in that high-powered offense?
Well, you got Revis. You're going to play Darrell Revis. So a start there for whoever's the number one cornerback, number one receiver, probably isn't the way you're going to go in terms of fantasy in standard or DFS. So.
Delanie Walker in Tennessee has a splint on his right hand. It's believed his hand isn't fractured, though. If he's dropped in your league, should he miss time? I would pick him up and I would stash him. So if you're in a 10-team league that has a limited amount of roster spots, you're obviously not going to see Delanie Walker dropped in as higher team leagues, 12, 14-team leagues. I think it's less likely. Excuse me. But in 10-team leagues, I can absolutely see this guy getting dropped because right now tight end depth seems to be abundant in terms of Tyler Eifert, Austin Seferian, Jenkins. We'll go over those guys of that ilk. So if he's dropped, would you pick him up and stash him?
I might pass just because of the depth that we've seen, but I think that the tight end position, as we're going to see as the year progresses, is going to thin out. So it might be, like you're saying, a good play to stash him. I just wouldn't at the moment.
Owners who believe in carrying only one tight end, probably going to drop him for a guy like Tyler Eifert. And, you know, I think Mariota is going to continue to lean on him. And that's why I would pick him up and stash him if he misses time. I mean, this is a fluid situation. And, you know, waivers for most leagues are tonight into tomorrow. So if you're a fantasy owner of Delanie Walker, you have a decision to make and you need to, you know, pay attention. into tonight as to whether or not how serious his hand is, if he's going to miss time and if you're deciding to drop him. But if you drop him in my league, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to pick him up. In Cleveland Browns quarterback Josh McCown is in concussion protocol. The Browns are preparing as if Johnny Manziel will start. And as of before I came into the show, my sources, you like that?
Yeah, it's good.
Not bad, right?
Yep.
Don't knock the hustle, baby. You can go to Miami with the DK people. I got my sources.
Let me know. I'll share them with us.
sources are saying that Johnny Manziel will most definitely start. So this isn't more of a maybe situation. It seems as though more of a definitely situation. So I'm starting any DST against Cleveland while Manziel is a starter. And it's not that I don't like Johnny Manziel. I just don't like Johnny Manziel in this game. As a quarterback. Tennessee, they have home games against Tennessee, Oakland, and then they're on the road against San Diego the next 3 weeks in case McCown can't go, all 3 weeks. This guy, Manziel, did you watch any of this game? I know you said, now you didn't say it on air, but over in Miami, you guys had a thunderstorm and they have DirecTV and you guys lost power at one point.
They lost power at one point. So I watched a little of the first quarter and then it was kind of down. So
this Manziel fumbled on back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
God awful. I mean, the guy is just lost.
He's not the savior in Cleveland.
You're also putting him up against one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. But again, I maintain this guy, you take any DST and you start them. Maybe not Oakland. I think Oakland may be a little bit, but I can understand how they, in week three, Oakland's going to be one of the most picked up defenses. And I think Tennessee this week is going to be one of the most waiver wire added defenses.
Yeah, I don't like hate Johnny. I kind of find myself like rooting for him here and there. When he came in yesterday, I was kind of like, all right, let's see what you can do, you know.
You know what I don't like? I don't like that he changed his whole persona. I like the money fingers. I like the money fingers.
Yeah, the money fingers are going to get him thrown out of the league.
Fair enough.
You got to become a company man in that league.
That's right. Well,
very quickly.
Yeah, now he does. Houston coach Bill O'Brien, the last little tidbit for injuries we have here. He doesn't expect Arian Foster to suit up week two, but reports are he could be back week three at Carolina or week four versus Tampa Bay. Both matchups I actually like a lot for Arian Foster. If he's to play in week three, how much of a coup is this for fantasy owners that drafted this guy in the fifth or sixth round?
I was one of those guys in one of my leagues, so I'm hoping he's playing.
You know, and again, if you're rushing this guy back from injury, the only thing I can say negative about Arian Foster, because I've been an Arian Foster believer ever since he won me the Super Bowl in my league in 2010. Rob Coakley can say what he wants, but that was a fair trade. I got Arian Foster and I went on to win the bowl. Don't knock the hustle again. Thank you. I've always been a big Arian Foster supporter. The running backs in Houston are miserable. So I it wouldn't doubt me if they're rushing Arian Foster back from injury, because these guys, Alfred Blue had 9 attempts for 42 yards. He had 1 catch for 7 yards. Polk and Grimes, they combined for 11 attempts, 50 yards, and 2 receptions for 11 yards. That is vomit awful.
Yeah, Alfred Blue is just... he's one of those guys, man. I can't stand to watch him run.
And he was getting drafted in the mid rounds. I don't see it. So I wouldn't doubt it if people within the organization are trying to rush this guy back. There's nobody there other than Foster. Houston was down by a lot early on, so you could use that as an excuse for a reason why they didn't use the running backs. But the way I feel is they have a guy in this offense. His name's DeAndre Hopkins. They're not going away from this guy.
Yeah, D-Hop's pretty legit, 30 fantasy points over the weekend.
Absolutely beasted.
Yeah, he's a beast.
In terms of the injuries, that's what we have. And I think all of these injuries, specifically guys like Arian Foster and Delanie Walker, it'll be interesting to see when Arian Foster comes back and if Delanie Walker is indeed out. So keep a fluid, keep your timeline going in terms of Twitter on that situation. So now we're going to hit week one waiver wire ads. Rob, very interesting just in terms of the depth that's out there at tight end and, you know, maybe a little bit of depth at quarterback that you didn't expect. But first, Stefan DiGregorio sent in a question on Facebook, 12-team PPR. And this is like super long, Stefan. I don't know if I'm going to read this entire thing, but 12-team PPR. I have first waiver order. Should he be using the waiver order to pick up Chris Johnson or go after a stronger wide receiver like or tight end like Moncrief, Beasley, Reed, Washington, or Tyler Lockett? Also, should I dump Wheaton, Floyd, or Starks and go after some waiver players? This is my train wreck team, and he sent me the whole team. So would you I'm not going to read the whole team, but would you use your first waiver order pick?
I'm taking CJ.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how many teams that is. We don't know if it's PPR or standard. But on his team, he has the running backs are Justin Forsett, D'Angelo Williams, Andre Ellington, and then it seems as though he's got Devontae Freeman. So, yeah, Benji Cunningham, Tevin Coleman, James Starks. So, you know, not too strong here on the running back depth. So it's probably better off that he goes Chris Johnson and with the first waiver order. But and it sounds like a deeper league, like maybe a 12 or 14 team league. So what I would say is hope that there's maybe even trade for a running back, because he's got Antonio Brown, Roddy White, Mike Wallace, Sammy Watkins, Michael Floyd. You know, if you trade Antonio Brown, you're going to have to get a top flight running back in return. So you probably don't want to do that. But yeah, definitely probably go CJ2K. There may be better options on the waiver wire for you. But for now, Stefan, yeah, maybe CJ2K. I'll talk to you about it off air, but don't worry. All right. In quarterback position, some guys worth noting to grab: Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor. Now, I don't know if you have a couple players that you would drop for those guys, but for me, You may find this as a little bit of a surprise. Those are guys that, you know, you might want to think about picking up. For Marcus Mariota, maybe Nick Foles, not Alex Smith, not Andy Dalton, and not Tyrod Taylor, but Mariota and Nick Foles, I might be dropping Drew Brees. Is that, like, hot take?
Drew Brees got a nice little matchup coming up this week, so I would kind
of
hold off.
He's got nobody. I mean, at one point he threw an interception out of the end zone. You see him go over to the bench. He sits down and he's just looking. You see him looking like, "I miss you, Jimmy Graham. I miss you, Jimmy Graham." I mean, he's got nobody. And Marcus Colston, nobody's really stepping up for this guy. You know, so
Cooks had a tough week with Patrick Peterson on him all week. I didn't think a lot of fantasy owners, and I know I was talking to a lot of DK pros down in Miami, a lot of people had Cooks as a guy that if he's in the slot, he'd be away from Patrick Peterson, so his ownership might be a little. His ownership would probably be lower because a lot of people would have thought, oh, Brandon Cooks, Patrick Peterson, but then he's in the slot, but that didn't end up turning out to be the case. He ended up. Peterson tailed him the whole game. He was all over him like a glove. And Cooks didn't have the greatest game.
Yeah, I'm not a big Drew Brees believer. Other guys I would drop: Jay Cutler, Sam Bradford, and Cam Newton. So those are some hot waiver wire adds. I think Marcus Mariota may be the highest added quarterback.
I think it's too early to make those decisions in terms of fantasy.
And I get it. He was doing it against a JV defense in Tampa Bay. I can understand that, but this guy looks like he's a real deal. I know it's early. It's been 1 week, but, I mean, he's finding receivers. He's finding his tight ends. He looks like he's a real deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe drop, like, your 16th round pick, pick him up, pick someone else up, and then start Mariota instead of Drew Brees.
Running backs to add, as we alluded to earlier, Chris Johnson. Or a few minutes ago, Chris Johnson, Deion Lewis, the running back out of New England, David Johnson, the other running back in Arizona, and Carlos Williams. Players to drop: I like Benny Cunningham. You can drop him. Bilal Powell, and you might not like this. T.J. Yeldon. He didn't impress me at all this weekend. Alfred Blue, and I know that he'll probably get the start this weekend. Don't like him at all. Devonta Freeman, Dennard Robinson, Fred Jackson, Duke Johnson, Terrence West, all those guys to me, you can drop those for any one of those guys up there that I listed. Any big deal with that?
No. Any takeaway? Pretty much. I would hold on to T.J. Yeldon and just wait. They have a tough matchup this week with Miami, but I think that he could pan out eventually. Maybe just to stash him and have him on your roster.
Just real quick.
As a spot start.
I hate to put you on the spot, but what is your outlook for T.J. Yeldon? In this Jacksonville offense, you got a couple of guys that can run the ball, Shoelace Robinson. What is your outlook? You're talking about T.J. Yeldon, 12 attempts for 51 yards, no touchdowns, 4 targets, 3 receptions, 16 yards. The only guy that, other than that, that got carries was Dennard Robinson. He had 5 attempts for 19 yards and 2 receptions for 26 yards. You know, 6 and 4 fantasy points, respectively. I don't think that Carolina's defense is that good, to be honest.
No, and Luke Kuechly left the game with a concussion. So
Carolina's defense was the highest scoring fantasy defense this week. I don't think that happens again this season. And again, you know, Jacksonville is just putrid all the way around.
I think it's the fact that they only used Denard Robinson gave him five carries speaks to maybe the usage going forward of T.J. Yeldon. And I just want to see Blake Bortles make that transition in his second year. And if Bortles is able to make that transition and turn a corner, then maybe the value of Yeldon goes up. So you kind of just stash him for right now.
The wide receiver position, I have quite a few names here. So, and it's a good thing I put this on the outline. James Jones, Green Bay, Kendall Wright, Tennessee, Travis Benjamin in Cleveland is a name to note. Stevie Johnson in San Diego, he had a touchdown. Phillip Rivers looked to him. Dante Moncrief, and that is, to me, that's only if T.Y. Hilton is hurt. Nate Washington, he had over, I think it was over 100 yards receiving. Brandon Coleman in New Orleans, not too high on him. Not too high on Tyler Lockett either, even though Rob Coakley is. Harry Douglas and Cole Beasley, those are guys that you can look at picking up. I added Harry Douglas, and that was more as an upside play because I like Mariota so much after seeing what he did. Kendall Wright is available in my 10-team league right
loved
now.
Loved Kendall Wright all
and
week.
I loved him all preseason, and I think that this guy can do some damage with a decent guy who behind center that can throw the ball.
I've seen him catch like five slants in his NFL career and turn them into like 50, 60-yard touchdowns.
It's wild, and he's got the potential.
He just runs away
upside is through the roof. It's just a matter of whether or not Mariota can continue this play. Players to drop: Jericho Cotchery. You might not like this one. Eric Decker, Marcus Wheaton. I have been low on Marcus Wheaton since last season. Another Jacksonville wide receiver in Allen Hurns. Michael Crabtree over in Oakland. Mohamed Sanu, and Michael Crabtree even more so if Derek Carr ends up being out.
Would you drop Hurns?
I would.
I like her. See, in that offense, as I know Allen Robinson's the number one, kind of got a tough matchup versus Brent Grimes going into this week in terms of DFS. I'm kind of high on Hurns.
The highest scoring wide receiver in Jacksonville the first week was Rashad Green. He had 13 targets, 7 receptions, and a touchdown. He had 8 fantasy points. Allen Hurns had 7 targets, 5 receptions, 60 yards, no touchdowns.
But he scored a TD. Very close.
He did fumble the ball, so he lost 2 points for that. And then Allen Robinson, Brian Walters, their quarterback situation is absolutely god-awful, and that's the reason why I don't like Jacksonville at all. And I'm staying away from guys in Jacksonville. That's why I had T.J. Yeldon on my list, and that's why I have Allen Hurns. At some point, you'd like to think that the offense has to score some points, but do they?
No, that's basically every year. That's how I go into my drafts. I usually don't take people from the Jaguars. I won't take people from teams in bad offenses because they don't get the opportunities. And we've seen that. Obviously, you're seeing it right now.
Right.
I just think that Bortles, there's potential there, even though he kind of had a rough week. There's potential there, so I wouldn't be ready to just throw in the towel with him just yet.
I'm throwing it in on Jacksonville, but I certainly understand you come back from Miami. You're very positive.
Like, yeah,
you're very
yeah.
upbeat. Yeah. Did you win your softball game yesterday?
No.
So what are you so upbeat for?
I don't know. It's just trying to get on the straight and narrow, I guess, since
just
I got back.
Just trying to not be as awkward as you can be. I love it. The tight end position in Tampa Bay, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, I think is going to be the most picked up tight end in fantasy, him and Tyler Eifert. Darren Fells in Arizona, saw Carson Palmer go to him for a touchdown. Ladarius Green, finally he steps up and has a decent day for himself. Jordan Reed came out and did what we thought Jordan Reed could do. Maybe not as much. He only had one touchdown, but it's obvious Kirk Cousins likes him. Eric Ebron, sort of coming into his own, the rookie last season I was super high on, and he finally came in and did his thing. Jared Cook and Lance Kendricks, the tight end brothers over there in St. Louis, who Nick Foles seemed to lean on at least in the first week, and Dwayne Allen. So who do you like in this list?
In terms of like their performances last week, the tight end position, these guys kind of, they balled out.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm, you know, I'm in a 10-team league with most of these guys available. I have Charles Clay. I hate to tell you, I'm shipping on my boy Clay.
I think Clay's in for a big week versus the Patriots next week. I wouldn't.
I know. And the other aspect is like, I don't want to root against the Pats. You know what I mean?
Like, I know, me neither. And I'm thinking about it in DFS, and I'm like, Tyrod Taylor's ownership, where's that going to be? And
you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the perfect storm. I'm going to drop Clay. Clay's going to go in the game. He's going to score 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm going to pick up Safarian Jenkins. He's going to have 10 yards, 15 yards receiving. You know, it's just
I feel the same way about Richard Rodgers. I was so high on him this week going into this game versus the Bears, and right. ended up with like 6 fantasy points. And James Jones ended up being that guy in that offense that kind of got all the end zone, red zone looks. So now I don't know. I just have a feeling that next week I'm going to stay away from him, and he's going to have a 2 touchdown game.
Are you dropping Richard Rodgers?
No, I'm holding on to him. I think he's going to have a good season.
Okay, he's on my drop list, and the reason why is because I never thought that Green Bay was very tight end centric. I understand, completely understand your upside and why you like him so much.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the tight end in Green Bay, much like I'm not a huge fan of the tight end in New Orleans
He looked to Rodgers. He didn't score.
I don't think he had a good week. I can look it up.
Look it up. He didn't have a great week in terms of fantasy, but...
Talk amongst yourself. The tight end position in general is pretty deep, and that's why I think Richard Rodgers can be let go. 3.8 fantasy points. He did have a rush for 11 yards, so he got a point out of that, but he had 3 receptions for 27 yards.
How many targets?
3. Yeah. So in terms of targets for the team... the targets were down for everybody, it seemed. Like I said, Davante Adams had 8, Randall Cobb had 5, and James Jones had 4. So the targets were down for everybody.
Spread it out.
He spread it out a little bit, yeah, and Richard Rodgers got his 3. So just for me, the guys that are on waivers right now at the tight end position, I think that they have higher upsides than Richard Rodgers. Other guys you can drop in that position, Scott Chandler. I would. He's a situational guy only, and where you saw how well Tyler Eifert played with the redhead there, the quarterback.
What got into that team? I honestly, it was such a weird week, man. I absolutely hate Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, thank you. That was a team I was thinking
and
of.
And they kind of...
He's so feast or famine, and that's the problem.
Yeah, he's so inconsistent. Even, I feel bad for Bengals fans because they have to, sit there and watch that.
Oh, they won. They won on Sunday. And the other thing is a lot of A.J. Green owners are really hoping that this doesn't continue to happen in terms of Tyler Eifert going off. But the way I reason it, and this is what I said to one of my buddies the other day, is in terms of A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert, if I'm an A.J. Green owner, I want Tyler Eifert to do better because that's only going to open up things for A.J. Green. Now teams, if he does this again the next 2-3 weeks, teams are going to have to start paying attention to Tyler Eifert, which means that attention will be taken off of A.J. Green.
And Marvin Jones is back in that offense, too. He missed all last season. He was big for them 2 years ago. Really came in as a second option.
I think if this hurts anybody, it hurts Jones.
Marvin
Jones. I think it hurts him more than it hurts A.J. Green. I just think that these two guys can work together as the 1 and 2, 1A and 1B. And it's one of those rare situations because normally I'd be saying, it's definitely going to hurt so-and-so, it's going to hurt this guy, but I think that these guys can coexist and put up crazy fantasy stats and make Andy Dalton look even better than he already does until they get to the first round of the playoffs and absolutely crap their pants. Gavin Escobar, Dallas tight end, he scored a touchdown. If you had him, I only put him up there to drop because there weren't enough tight ends. But yeah, Gavin Escobar, if you have him, I would drop him for one of these guys. I would drop Gavin Escobar for Lance Kendricks. I think Lance Kendricks has far more upside. With Dez going down, you'd like to think that they're going to give the tight end position in general in Dallas a little bit more attention, but I think that Gavin Escobar is just, again, he's like a Scott Chandler. He's a situational guy.
See, I would go with Escobar over Kendricks. I think that Escobar, honestly, I know Witten's the guy there, but I think he'll steal some catches from Witten in that offense.
Yeah, I just think Nick Foles, it seemed as though he was really leaning on his tight ends against Seattle. So that's why I like Lance Kendricks. Now, with that said, in the list, Lance Kendricks is going to be the guy that I am picking up last. But again, I think that he has a higher upside. You might not like this. Kyle Rudolph, for Austin Seferian Jenkins, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, and maybe Eric Ebron, I'm dropping Kyle Rudolph. Does that surprise you?
I'm not very high on Eric Ebron, basically, because I don't like Stafford. Jordan Reed, he got a tough matchup this week versus the Rams, but still Kirk Cousins seems like I could see it for Jordan Reed, definitely.
Just real quick, Antonio Gates, a lot of owners are picking him up. They drafted him, keeping them on their roster for about 4 weeks. Is he worth keeping on your roster and waiting out, or would it be more advantageous for fantasy owners to grab one of these tight ends off waivers and drop Gates?
I would grab one of these tight ends off waivers. I think Ladarius Green's going to cut into Gates' production when he gets back. You also have Stevie Johnson, who played very well yesterday. There's a lot of players in that offense in San Diego that made noise this week, and I think that they're basically going to do a lot of similar things going forward. He's going to spread the ball around Rivers, so I just think that cuts into Gates' production.
And lastly, the DSTs. We have the Baltimore Ravens, who are playing at Oakland, Tennessee Titans at Cleveland, the Detroit Lions at Minnesota, and the New York Saints versus Tampa Bay.
New York Jets.
I'm sorry? Well,
Saints versus Tampa Bay. New York.
I said the New York Jets?
You said New York Saints.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Sorry. New Orleans Saints versus Tampa Bay. Those are defenses that you can pick up. Who, Rob, is... of those defenses, who do you think has the most upside in week two?
The most upside in week two, I'm going to have to go. I really like the Saints versus the Bucks, and I know that a lot of people probably seen how the Saints played versus the Cardinals, and they're kind of going to shy away from them, but Rob Ryan's still a very good defensive coordinator there in New Orleans, and I just think with Jameis Winston's struggles, it's a place you can look to save money in terms of your lineup building.
Oh, so you mean specifically for like DFS?
Yeah.
Because I think that they may be one of the higher ads for DFS just based on the offense that they're going to be playing against. Players to drop, Carolina Panthers versus Houston, the New England Patriots at Buffalo, Green Bay Packers versus Seattle, and Houston Texans at Carolina, Cleveland Browns versus Tennessee. These are all defenses that I think are going to be defenses you can drop. And I know, you know, we are in New England, but the Patriots going on the road against Buffalo, that defense put up, and they had like 9 points until that last Antonio Brown touchdown on Thursday night. Is the New England Patriots a defense you're going to roll with going on the road against Buffalo?
No, I will roll. I might roll with the Bills defense, though. That might be a good play based on how they play against top-notch quarterbacks. I would stay away from the Pats defense. Tyrod Taylor looks good. They usually have issues with read option quarterbacks. You're going to see a lot. I would stay away from the Pats. I don't think they're the greatest play this week.
You don't think the Pats are the greatest play this week?
In terms of defense, yeah.
Yeah, no, and honestly,
on the offensive side of the ball, too, as well. I think it's going to be a tight game.
It honestly might be wise to roll with a team like Buffalo just because of the fact that, like a defense like Buffalo, just because of the fact that this is going to be a huge game for them. You know, this is like...
They're going to play great, that Bills defense. Bills Mafia is going to be in full effect.
Yeah, every year it seems like this is like Rex Ryan's Super Bowl anytime he plays the Pats, so it's going to be interesting. All right, everybody, that is it for the show. Tomorrow's show is actually going to be a 1 hour, 45-minute or so podcast, so we won't be live until next Monday. Instagram, at DWN Fantasy Football Show. You can follow us on Twitter, at Nick Lesagor.
At Bobby Gomes DFS.
What's your Instagram, bud?
At Bobby Gomes DFS.
Thank you to Seth Wilkins for the official theme song of the show. You can find him on SoundCloud.
Thank you, Seth.
At Seth Wilkins. Rob, until tomorrow, sir.
Yeah, adios.
Adios.